We're here with Representative Paul Tonko, Democrat of New York's 20th District. Paul Tonko, always wonderful to see you here.
It's good to see you.
You were known as, well, I'll take that with a grain of salt. I remember when you were in the state legislature and now in Congress, you were known as Mr. Environment. You are.
Well, we take environment and energy policy seriously, so.
Well, here we have President of the United States, who seems, at least to me, intent on raping everything that's been done. Is that a too strong a word?
No, I think that, let's look at the tone first. Two agencies that I deal most frequently with, DOE, Department of Energy, and EPA, the Environmental Protection Agency. EPA, as an agency, had the president nominating Mr. Pruitt from Oklahoma, who is suing the agency, has sued them a couple of times. And to lead the Department of Energy, the president has nominated Governor Perry, who wanted to shut the agency and forgot about us as one of those he wanted to close in his debate. So, you know, that oops moment is now one that has come alive again. And so it's, you know, that tone of suing an agency and now leading an agency, wanting to close an agency, now recovering from that moment and now leading an agency, you know, on the heels of what were two very successful secretaries, the last being Secretary Moniz, a doctor, a PhD in physics, who helped put together the Iran agreement because of his deep knowledge about nuclear energy. And in the important role that that played in that decision. So you look at all of this intellect and integrity, and where are we going to go? Rumor has it they want to cut two-thirds of the budget of EPA after we made great strides with TSCA reform, the Toxic Substance Control Act, which was done late last year. We need to now implement that law.
Throwing coal
clean water
throwing
provisions.
Coal residue into the streams and allowing that to be done. It's unbelievable.
We spent countless hours at a hearing a few weeks ago in D.C. about getting rid of regulations, which I call protections. You know, you can shade it how you want, but, you know, the classification of, say, the Mohawk River, Hudson River, when I was a kid, you know, dye was pouring into the river, all kinds of neglect, not pointing a finger of blame at anybody. But today that classification has risen and we keep improving that environment. So EPA allows us to be secure in an agenda that cleans the water we drink, cleans the air we breathe, and protects the soils that we require.
So I always ask you the same question, and I'm sure you get it, which is, Paul, don't these people have any conscience? Don't they have, forget about conscience, don't they have any grandchildren?
You know, one would wonder what, you know, what they're thinking is, but it's so knee-jerk in nature. It's like, okay, for this regulation concept, for any new reg that you approve, you have to get rid of two standing regulations. Now, that's like a retail ploy.
What is that?
What's the bait? What's the academics on that? And no one can figure out, you know, do they have to be related regulations? Do they have to be from the same agency, from the same sections of law? It's like, what is the logic behind that? And, you know, all while we're dealing with issues like Flint, which with additional regulations would not have allowed, you know, they're looking at a lead and copper rule in EPA, making certain that, again, the standards are raised so that if there is lead or copper contaminant in the drinking water, we do something about it. So we have this aggressive approach. Same thing with greenhouse gas emissions, carbon pollution. You know, we're moving toward this agenda. We signed a Paris Agreement that we led at the table. And now we're the nation that's going to, you know, walk away from an environmental agenda. While all these countries are ratifying the agreement, we're undoing EPA.
Disgusting. But, Paul, I wanted to ask you.
And health-wise, damaging.
Of course.
Beyond disgusting, it's damaging.
Kids are going to drink from those streams with
them. Well, we have a medical doctor now on energy and commerce, Raul Ruiz, a representative from California, brand new on the committee. He closed with a statement at the hearing the other day saying that he's had to tell parents about the death of their child in the emergency room from asthmatic attack. And he looked at this panel of proponents for undoing regulation saying, is that what we want? And there was just stone, you know, people just didn't know how to respond.
Don't these guys have to go home and talk to their wife and children? I just don't get it. Mm-hmm. Paul, I want to ask you something else. I noticed that the president has decided he's going to run starting day one of administration. And he goes to hangars filled with people, a couple thousand people. And, of course, they're screaming for him. And I guess I want to know how the Democrats counter that. You don't have a candidate. You're not running anybody 4 years in advance. Democrats will be running against each other. I have a theory that the way this probably ought to be handled is that you divide it up and you have campaign rallies, just like their hangars. Like one time Bernie Sanders or a couple of times Bernie Sanders goes out there, he'll attract huge crowds. You have other Democrats like Hillary go out there and she'll attract huge crowds. I don't think you can... If I'm the Democrats, I don't think you can let them get away with this.
Right. Well, I think, you know, for a winning candidate, for a winning campaign, in, you know, 4 years hence, you have to have a product to sell. And if the product is I've damaged your, you know, I've destroyed your environment, I've reduced your health care coverage. I mean, it may be a product that's not able to be sold.
Yes, Paul, but he just lies and he says, I've actually increased your health care.
I think that catches up with you, though.
Do you?
I got to believe that.
Doesn't the other side have to get up there? Doesn't a Bernie Sanders have to get up there and say that to a hangar full of Democrats? In other words, don't Trump's lies, which we know he lies, don't they have to be countered?
Yes, they should be. But I think, you know, we're early in this process of, you know, people just came off an election where, you know, they were disgusted with all of the rhetoric flying back and forth and, you know, all the labeling of people by, you know, little Mario, low energy Jeb, you know, crooked Hillary. I mean, just disparaging comments about people. And I think people are discerning. I think we've spoken on earlier shows about what those dynamics of this election were, and if people were feeling uncomfortable or if their home life, their home income stream was somewhat unstable or unpredictable, they responded to that. But now people are, I've heard a number of people say that I may have made a mistake here because I was voting on one element. Maybe it was the trade issue. Maybe it was, you know, the Affordable Care Act, but now when they find out you're going to weaken that, you know, there's a lot of concern about losing the pre-existing condition benefit, the annual life caps, the lifetime caps, students staying or young adults staying on their parents' policy, the donut hole where seniors don't have to reach into their pocket to pay for pharmaceutical costs after 2020.
I think it all catches up to you.
I think it does. I think people will be more discerning.
Okay, but
this time they'll know better. I mean, we were voting for pretty much an unknown that identified with anger and fear, and that was very clever. And you put your name and face on it before anybody else did, and so it might have been just that moment. But I think that I've been out there. I was at a rally with Bernie and Elizabeth Warren the other day to advance a bill to strengthen Social Security and ask people over $250,000 to pay into the system of Social Security on both earned and unearned income. You know, people are still at that rally level against privatizing Social Security, vouchering Medicare, and block granting Medicaid. These are issues that will hit home, and I think we'll have a lot to talk about.
I still think my plan is a good one.
You always have good ones, except for angles.
It's always, what an angle. We're talking to Representative Paul Tonko, Democrat of New York's 20th District, a friend, and I so appreciate your being here with us, Paul. Always great to see you.
My pleasure.